Well, the Constitutional Court has handed down a truly historic judgment that could reshape how we think about parenting, about gender roles and the modern workplace on the 3rd of October in Van Wyk and Others versus the Minister of Employment and Labour. The court ruled that South Africa's parental leave laws were unconstitutional, a victory for equality, but also a wake-up call for employers. To unpack what this means in practice, I'm joined now by Lee Masuku, a senior associate in the employment law practice at leading law firm Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, CDH. Lee, welcome. Let's just start with the big picture. What was at the heart of the Van Wyk case, and why did the Concord see South Africa's parental leave regime as discriminatory in the first place?
Thank you so much for having me, Michael, first of all. At the heart of the judgment was a challenge to the parental leave provisions of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act on the basis that it breached sections 9 and 10 of the Constitution, which safeguard the rights to equality and dignity. So you had Mr. Van Wyk, who was a male, and he approached his employer to seek 4 months leave in circumstances where his wife was self-employed and she didn't need to take the leave, nor could she take time off from her business for 4 months after having their child. And the Van Wyks were unfortunate in the fact that Mr. Van Wyk's employer said there's nothing in their policy that contemplates the ability for a non-birthing mother, essentially, to take 4 months maternity leave, as it was categorized. And so they challenged the provisions of the BCA through the High Court and ultimately all the way to the Constitutional Court, where the maternity leave provisions and other parental leave provisions currently or that were in the BCA at the time were declared to be unconstitutional.
And at face value, I mean, as you say, it's a case about a father asking for leave, but really it's about how our laws still define caregiving through a very gendered lens. Some might argue, well, that's right, because, you know, a mother gives birth, very often you've got to recover from that, and there are different roles. But, you know, the court not only struck down parts of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, but also suspended that invalidity for 36 months while Parliament goes back to get its house in order. Can you just walk us through the court's judgment and reasoning and explain, you know, what the interim arrangements mean right now for employers and employees?
So, Michael, currently the interim arrangement is that all parents, whether biological, adoptive or commissioning, are all entitled to 4 months and 10 days of what is now categorized as parental leave. And the parents, they can then share those 4 months and 10 days leave as they see fit. If both parents are employed, they must agree to on how to divide the leave. If they can't agree, then the leave needs to be split as equally as possible. We have only one parent in the relationship that is employed, then that parent can have the full 4 months and 10 days of parental leave. So just to take it again a step back, where the 4 months would only have applied to what was previously maternity leave, it's now be expanded to this broader category of parental leave, as well as increasing the limit in the BCA for adoption and commissioning parental leave to also be that 4 months and 10 days.
And I think that's, you know, it's an important distinction. So in effect, you now have a kind of shared parental leave model. You've got the 4 months and 10 days, and that is to be divided between the parents as they choose. Or as you say, if there's just one, then they can take, you know, the full 4 months and 10 days. Let's just bring this home for HR departments. What immediate steps should employers be taking to align their policies with this interim order, especially those who've traditionally offered paid maternity benefits only to birthing mothers?
Well, what employers now need to do is that they now need to extend parental leave benefits to all parents, regardless of their gender or birthing status. So this will include fathers as well as non-birthing parents, because if you think of the both adoption and the commissioning parental leave, it's now expanded that to include those. Obviously, in the BCA, there's no provision for paid parental adoption or commissioning parental leave. But to the extent that a employer does offer paid leave for those category of leaves, they need to consider extending that leave to categories of parents who may not have received paid benefits in the past to avoid a situation where they might find themselves subject to a separate challenge of the discriminatory provision of benefits. So what employers must do is that Employers must review and update their leave policies to essentially ensure compliance and avoid such discrimination.
What are the risks if they don't move quickly here? Because you've obviously got this 36-month period. Could employers face discrimination claims or challenges under the Employment Equity Act as it stands?
So the 36-month period is really for Parliament to get its house in order, to come up with the new legislation or the new provisions within the BCA. As things stand now, the law is that all parents must be provided that 4 months and 10 days. And like I said, that's not necessarily to get paid time off, but to the extent that an employer does provide paid time off for parental leave, I'm going to call it parental leave because that's what we now need to call it under law, for parental leave, then if they don't do so for all genders and non-birthing parents, they might find themselves subject to challenge in the form perhaps of an unfair labor practice dispute in relation to the provision of benefits. Alternatively, it might be an employment equity unfair discrimination claim as well, as you've mentioned.
Now, Lee, is there anywhere in the judgment where the parent, and I hate to generalize, but often it's the male parent who absconds after the birth, that the parent has to be present to enjoy the benefits of that leave? They can't be taking leave and not be there to be the caregiver that they're supposed to be for their newborn.
So what it contemplates, the new provisions, obviously, is that there must be this agreement between the parents on how to split the leave. Ah. And that is unfortunately one of the difficulties, is that where the parents can't agree, the default position is that you must share the 4 months and 10 days, split down equally down the middle. Of course, with female birthing parents, there are still provisions to have rest periods in to recover and for nurturing purposes for birthing mothers. So that's 6 weeks post-birth, as well as a 1 month prior to birth, up to 4 weeks prior to birth. But, you know, if a person is not present, but they do still have parental rights and responsibilities over a child, unfortunately, the judgment doesn't necessarily contemplate how that specific dispute ought to be dealt with between the parents, other than to say that it needs to be split down the middle.